please take your hymnals and let's begin by turning to hymn number 413. Hymn number 413. And my voice isn't fully recovered yet from Sunday, so just bear with me. I'm not going to be singing or preaching too loudly, I think. But if I can't sing too loudly, then I need you guys to help me out, okay? So 413, we begin by singing Stand Up for Jesus. And if you can please stand, please do. And let's sing it up to the Lord. 413, Stand Up for Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house tonight, Lord. Even though I'm not feeling that great, Lord, I'm so thankful to be here with the brethren, Lord, to be in fellowship and to sing your praises. Lord, I just pray you receive our worship and, Lord, that we would sing with our full hearts and Lord, that, Lord, we just come to give you honor, Lord, for being such a great God, for loving us and for giving us salvation. So, Lord, I just pray that everything that we do in this service will be honorable to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, let's turn to hymn number 359. 359. We'll sing, Thy Word Have I Hid in My Heart. 359. Thy Word Have I Hid in My Heart.
Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Show me the heavenly way. Thy word have I hid in that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart.
All right. Great singing. Our next hymn before the Bible reading is 441. 441. Great is thy faithfulness. 441. 441.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou
Please take your Bibles now and turn to Luke 23. Turn to Luke chapter number 23. It's a bit of a long chapter, but Brother Nicholas is going to come up for the reading. Luke 23.
Luke 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and set him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before there were enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me, as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him, let him go. And when they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voice of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding those things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went up to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was a preparation and a Sabbath drew in. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the seventh day according to the commandment. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that we could all come to church. Please help us to learn something and fill my dad with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, thank you, Nicholas. So last week when I preached, I actually thought I preached one of my worst sermons ever last Wednesday. You probably don't even notice it. Like when I went back to watch the sermon, I probably don't even notice it. But like I knew just within myself that I'm skipping my notes, I'm skipping ahead. I can't keep focused as I'm preaching. That's what I felt like inside. And I just felt like, man, I preached a worst sermon. And on the way home, I'm like, Christina, how bad was that sermon? She's like, oh, it was good. It was like a good sermon. I thought, what's wrong? Like, what was wrong with me? And I was thinking, oh, man, maybe I'm far from the Lord. Like, maybe there's some issue that I've got in my life, and maybe I feel far from the Lord. But I just wasn't, like, you know, I just wasn't there at church mentally or anything like that. Anyway, then I go to Sydney on the Thursday to preach down at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I'm just not feeling great. You know, I'm just like, what's wrong? Like, what is wrong with me? Anyway, I finally get to my parents' house, because that's where I stay in the night, and I had to go pick up contact lenses for my son Nicholas, and anyway, I just like, Dad, can you go and pick him up? I just don't feel good, right? Anyway, I'm preaching then on Thursday. I got through the sermon, come home. Obviously, you got Friday, most of Friday, and then Saturday, and then Sunday. Like, what I'm saying to you guys is sometimes we need to, and men, we don't do this very well, but we just stop and listen to our bodies. My body was starting to get tired and run down, and I started to realize, oh, I'm actually getting sick. Anyway, come Sunday, I'm preaching. You guys know I'm losing my voice at that point. You know, and then got through Sunday, you guys came over my house, and then on Monday, I was just completely gone. Monday, I woke up, and I just couldn't function. I had breakfast, I think, I had a coffee at least, and then I just laid down in bed, and I fell asleep. Then I got up, had something to eat, and I was like, I just can't do this, and I lay down, fell asleep, had a fever, I was burning up, and I just wasn't listening to my body. So it wasn't a spiritual thing, so it wasn't a spiritual problem that I had. It was a physical problem, but I just wasn't listening. You know, when you get too busy, you got things to do, you're running back and forth, and even this afternoon, Christina said to me, maybe you should just get one of the other guys to preach for you. I'm like, and I should remember, because I still got Pastor Stevenson who owes me a sermon. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm here now, praise God. The reason I said that is just keep me in prayer, keep me in silent prayer as I'm preaching, just so my mind's fresh and I can get through the sermon tonight. But with the Lord's help, I'll be able to get through it. Luke 23:42 says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The title for the sermon tonight is, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. One of my favorite stories is this very story here. The thief on the cross. You know, at one point, you read another epistle, he's actually mocking Christ. Both the malefactors, both the thieves are actually mocking Christ. One of the thieves finally comes to realize, boy, you know, we deserve this punishment. You know, we've done wrong, but when we look at Jesus, he's done no wrong. And, you know, and he finally, it dawns upon him the reality that, you know, he's about to enter into eternity. He's not right with the Lord. I mean, he's been mocking the Savior, and something amazing transforms in his heart. But before I talk about that, I like how he begins that prayer, that conversation with the Lord. Lord, remember me. Remember me. And I remember as I was reading for the Bible, I usually read for the old, you know, a passage for the Old Testament and a passage in the New Testament at the same time. And I remember as I was reading through Luke 23, this was many years ago, I came across this point, okay, Lord, remember me. And then I remembered, I was going through the Old Testament, I was going through the book of Genesis. And I'll just quickly read to you from Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and God remembered Noah. And remember that kind of dawned on me, remembered Noah. You know, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of the heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the floods returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And so before God stops the rain and the waters coming from the foundations of the earth, before he puts a stop to that the flood that took place in that time, the Bible says that he remembered Noah. And it kind of dawned on me, and I thought, well, you know, when we use the word remember, we kind of say, well, it's sort of like the opposite of forgetting. It's sort of like, oh, that we did forget at one period of time, and then, oh, it's come back to our remembrance. And of course, when we think about God, God never forgets us. We understand that, right? He'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. We understand that. But one thing I started to realize in the Bible, as these things started to click together, that there are several times in the Bible that it does refer to that, where people are praying to the Lord and they're just saying, Lord, remember me. Lord, just remember me. And then I got challenged in my own prayer life. And I'm just thinking, you know, when I go to pray, you know, I say a few words, but and then I look how some of the saints, or this thief on the cross even, how he needs salvation and how passionate they are, how desperate they are that they would say, God, just remember me. What does it mean to remember? Bring to your remembrance. You know, as God is causing the rain to fall and the floods to come, that the Noah's flood, you know, all of life is being destroyed. And you would think that God has just so much on his mind right now as he's destroying the earth. The Bible tells us, he remembered Noah. You know, Noah came to his mind, came to his remembrance. Meaning that for just that moment of time, the Lord was focused on Noah. Focused on Noah. You know, just imagine, like Noah's world has been completely destroyed. What he knows, you say it's a wicked world. Yes, it was a wicked world. But it was still the only world he knew. You know, it was completely destroyed. Right? I mean, he's on the ship and he's potentially wondering, you know, how's this all going to end? What's this new world going to be like? When are the rains exactly going to stop? And, you know, what's going to be the future for me and my family? And the Lord God, as he looked at the whole earth being covered by water, you know, his eyes came focused upon that ark. You know, Noah, his family, the animals, and the Lord remembered him. The Lord's focus, I kind of think about that, right? Everything else is destroyed. The Lord's focus is just on Noah, just at one point in time. And then you have the thief on the cross saying very similar words, Lord, remember me. Amazing. You were just mocking Christ not long ago. What's he asking to be remembered for? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And yet he's about to die. He sees Jesus. He knows Jesus is about to perish. He says, Lord, Lord. So what's he saying about Jesus? That he's the Lord, right? That he's got authority. He says, look, you're not just a common man. You're the Lord. Lord, remember me. Why? What do you mean, remember? You're both about to pass on when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember when Christ was mocked, the crown of thorns was upon his head. You know, they had the sign above his head saying, this is the king of the Jews. You know, that was all just mocking Christ. But somehow the thief would look at the Lord Jesus. Instead of seeing a crown of thorns, he saw, no, this is the king of Israel. You know, when he saw that sign, this is the king of the Jews, you know, he saw Christ, as it were, in faith on his throne. He knew that Christ is the king. He knew that one day Christ will come back from this death and bring in his kingdom. And all he says, Lord, just remember me. Lord, just when you come in your kingdom, just remember this one thief that just for one brief moment in time put his faith on you. He trusted Christ will be resurrected from the dead. And if he wants to be remembered, what is he saying? Lord, bring me back as well. Bring me back from death as well. I want to be in your kingdom. And I kind of think in his heart, he's probably just hoping that he can just sweep the floors in the kingdom of Christ. Probably not fully understanding that the moment that he's put his faith on Christ, that he's become a child of God. That he's not just some servant that can sweep the floor in the kingdom, but he's going to inherit all things with Jesus Christ. It's amazing. That's what faith can bring to us when we just give our faith to Jesus Christ alone. But he says, Lord, remember me. You know, again, a king. You know, again, if you've seen the news, if you've been watching, you know, King Edward III, I don't know if he's been crowned just yet, but there's a lot of, you know, what's the word, celebrations, and there's a lot of, you know, that they're all dressed up and it's all very fancy. There's a lot going on in that kingdom. We know that when Christ comes, there's going to be a lot going on in his kingdom. It's not just a British kingdom. It's going to be a kingdom upon the whole world. And, you know, this thief just says, Lord, just remember me. Just for one period of time. As busy as you are in your kingdom, just for one period of time, give me focus, give me your attention. Lord, I want to be part of that kingdom. And this is what saved him. You know, this is, you know, when we lead someone in a sinner's prayer, you know, I mean, this is just as good of a prayer, right? Because it's not so much the words, but it's the faith that you place on the one that you're speaking to, right? It's not the prayer that saves you, but it's the one that you're praying to that saves you. It's the one that you're placing your faith upon. And so the man does this, you know, and I just wanted to give you some other examples as we go through the Bible, this idea of being remembered. And many times as we go through this, you know, it's at a point when people are just at the very lowest. Say, Lord, I just need your special attention. I need you to remember me in my hardship. Can you please, we won't go back to Luke 23 now. Can you please go to Job chapter 14? Go to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. And verse number 13. This one also reminds me a lot of the thief's prayer on the cross. But in Job chapter 14, verse number 13, these are the words of Job. And, you know, again, we know that Job has gone through great loss, great suffering. And he gets to a point where he kind of just says, you know, Lord, I kind of just want to die. Like, Lord, if this is what you've got in store for me, then Lord, can I just die peacefully? Can I just go to my grave? And he says these words in Job 14, verse 13. Job 14, verse 13. It says, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath is past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me." And remember me. He says, "Lord, can I just go to the grave? Just a secret, Lord. Just take me to death. You've taken it all. It seems like you're angry at me, Lord. You know, but just let me die. You know? But Lord, even in my death," he says, "remember me. Appoint me a set time and remember me." What's he talking about there? Well, we know that Job's already saved, right? He's already a believer. You know, he's a great man. Then what does it say there in verse number 14? It says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Wow. He goes, "Look, Lord, there's going to be an appointed time where I'm going to be changed." This reminds me of 1 Corinthians 15. You know, it says, "For we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye," right? And we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And of course, Job is speaking about the resurrection. I mean, look, he's going through great suffering on this earth. Not to the point where he thinks that God wants him dead. I mean, I don't blame Job for thinking this. All right? Where he just thinks, man, surely God is trying to kill me. But instead of just killing me slowly, Lord, just take me to the grave right now, please. But Lord, remember me. You know, I know I've got this appointed time. I know there's going to be a resurrection. Lord, please remember me that I can be resurrected from the dead. You know, like if this life, Lord, you're angry at me and I'm a sinner and there's judgment and there's wrath and there's punishment, Lord, I know in the life to come, I'm not going to have to face all those things. Praise God. You know, these are good prayers, but you can see that it's at a point when people are just so far, like so cast down, so troubled, so burdened, like the thief on the cross, not knowing what his eternity would be. Just for a moment, dawning upon him that, you know what, I'm not right with God. This is the Messiah right here. He's the King of Kings. I'm going to put my faith and trust on him. It's all I've got left. Praise God for that. And then Job's thinking the same thing. Maybe the Lord's just, you know, this life is just too much, Lord. I can't handle it. You know, Lord, it seems like you just want to kill me. Well, let it be, Lord, but I want to come back in the resurrection. I want to rise from the dead. Please remember me. Remember me and remember me. So I just want to show you that, you know, that these prayers, I look at these prayers of the saints and I kind of look at my own prayer life and I go, man, I'm really lacking. Like these words and this passion and these depths, you know, of sadness where I can just be calling out God in this sense. I mean, I don't know if it's because maybe I've not suffered that much in life. I mean, we've all had problems. We all have all suffered, of course. Of course, I've had different difficulties in my life. But, you know, I can't say that I've suffered as much as Job. You know, I can't say that I've been at a point in life where, you know, death could just be around the corner. And, you know, one thing that you see when someone is close to the Lord that, you know, their prayer life, it just seems so rich and so deep. And sometimes I think, man, what's wrong with me? Why is my prayer life not like that? And anyway, you know, I'm just preaching this to challenge you because I think sometimes we need to really consider our prayer life. Like, how rich is it really? You know, are we just saying, and look, the Lord's going to hear our words. I'm not trying to say, you know, we're children of God, okay? He's given us these scriptures so we can learn how to pray. Remember the disciples, they came to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray." And the Lord literally had to teach them how to pray. You know, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The Lord had to teach them. And, you know, we've got God's word. I read something like the Psalms. And again, I just see how rich and beautiful these words are. And I know they're songs. I know it's a song book, but most of the Psalms, you know, are prayers to God. You know, prayers written in song. And that beauty, that richness, that deepness, you know, of the words from the person that has great needs gets proclaimed before God. And, And I love it. And again, that idea that, Lord, remember me. And I'm trying to apply the language of the Bible more so in how I pray to God these days. You know, and as I'm doing this, I kind of, you know, if I'm going to start doing this, then I want my church to start doing this. And I want to show you why. I want to show you how these saints of old were just so precious in the words that they used when they spoke to the Lord God. Please go to Psalm 106. We just spoke about the Psalms. Go to Psalm 106 and verse number 3. Psalm 106 and verse number 3. What's another reason why we might have to say, remember me, when we speak to our Lord? It says in Psalm 106 verse number 3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Now, brethren, is that you? You know, as you speak to the Lord, can you say these words, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times? Is that you, though? Would you say, Lord, I keep your judgments. You know, I keep, Lord, your righteousness at all times. You know, again, I look at these words and I think, wow, man, you know, I wish I can say that all the time about my life. You know, I wish I can say that every moment of my life, I'm just closely walking with the Lord. Because when you are doing these things, look at this. When you are keeping God's judgments, when you are doing the righteousness of God at all times, verse number 4, it says, remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, oh, visit me with thy salvation. Remember me, O Lord. Lord, when I do well, when I keep your judgments, Lord, when I walk in your righteousness, Lord, can you remember me? Because I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. That's another reason we can go to God and say, Lord, remember me. Sometimes it might seem like as we live life and we keep the commandments of God and we try to live a holy and pleasing life, it seems like we're just not getting ahead. It almost seems like, Lord, it'd be just better if I just cheated on the job. Lord, maybe it's easy if I lied actually my way instead of telling the truth. In fact, Lord, the moment I told the truth, it all just seemed to come crashing down. You know, and sometimes we get weary in well-doing, don't we? That's what the Bible's being careful about, warns us about. You know, but we need to remember that, hey, you know what? I'm just going to keep God's judgments. You know, even though I don't seem to be winning right now, right? I'm going to keep in his righteousness. You know, every day of my life, I'm going to seek to do his commandments. And I'm not going to be always perfect, but you know what? When I do wrong, I'll go and confess that before God to help me get back up and continue walking in his ways. And if you continue doing that, you know, you might need to go before God in prayer and say, Lord, look, I've been trying to be, you know, serving you. You know, to the Mitchell family, I know, you know, obviously we all know you're looking for a house. You know, hey, you keep the house of God a priority. And then you say to God, God, remember me. I've prioritized your house. We're here every week. Lord, you need to also give us a house. Okay? Hey, and God, Lord, remember us. Remember me. Remember us. Lord, give us your attention. Give us your focus right now, Lord. We need a place to live. We need a place that we can be comfortable. And Lord, even if we can't find a house right now, we're still going to prioritize your house. We're still going to be there. We're still going to make sure we walk in the paths of righteousness that you've set before us. Let's keep going there. Verse number 5, it says, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Because sometimes, yeah, you can lose the excitement. I'm doing right. I'm doing what's right. I know, but I'm just not getting it. I'm just not getting the answers of prayer. I'm just not being blessed the way I think I ought to be blessed. But then we need to go, God, just remember me. Remember me as I walk in your ways, because I want all these things. I want to see the good of thy chosen. I want to rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. Of course, we know in the New Testament, we have the spiritual nation, you know, that we're part of. That I might glory in thine inheritance. Being excited, being hopeful for the future to come. Again, the inheritance is an inheritance that the Father gives to the Son. And we're joint heirs with what the Father gives to the Son. So, hey, sometimes, yeah, when we do right, we need the Lord to just, Lord, can you remember me? You know, please pass down your blessings. I kind of feel like I'm being missed out, Lord. Maybe you kind of forgotten, Lord, the paths of righteousness that I'm walking in. Can you please bless me? Can you please remember me? Please go to Nehemiah chapter 13. Go to Nehemiah chapter 13. And I preached in Nehemiah with this church earlier this year, right? But Nehemiah chapter 13, And, you know, Nehemiah, of course, was instrumental in getting the walls. Nehemiah was instrumental in getting the walls rebuilt of Jerusalem. You may recall that event. But Nehemiah was an official of the Babylonian Empire. Okay, and after he got all the walls set up, and you know the people of the land were excited to be serving the Lord once again. They're excited to be serving the temple and the house of God. Nehemiah had given a great instructions to the people. He then had to go back to the Babylonian Empire to report to the Persian king and explain, you know, what's been happening in Babylon. What's been happening in Jerusalem. And while he was gone, things started to fall apart. All right? And then in Nehemiah chapter 13, he comes back from his leave, all right, and he realizes, man, people aren't following the instructions that he gave the nation, that he gave the people. Okay? And he says these words in Nehemiah 13, 14. He says, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the officers thereof." What was happening is, you know, Nehemiah had instructed them, hey, you got to make sure the Levites' needs are being taken care of. They're meant to be serving the house of God. Make sure that you collect everything, you all put it all in a special room, that the Levites have enough to take care of the needs. The needs weren't being taken care of while he was gone. Okay? Another thing, they had heathen come into the land or come into the temple. And I think it was Sanballat from memory. They had set up a room for him in the house of God. Okay, the heathen. There were several things that they were doing wrong. And Nehemiah's like, oh man, God must be so angry at us right now. I mean, God's just brought us back into this land. He's rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the walls of the city. And Nehemiah's just concerned, Lord, man, your judgment's going to fall, but Lord, can you remember me? Like, I've tried to do what's right, Lord. I've done good. And sometimes when we see perhaps the judgment of God fall upon, you know, our wicked nation, you know, we see the judgment and we just, Lord, please don't consume me in your wrath because, Lord, I've stepped out and tried to do what is right. You know, I've passed down instruction, but they've not heeded it. You know, I've been away, Lord, but they've rebelled. Let's keep going in the same chapter, verse number 20, Nehemiah 13, verse number 20. It says, "So the merchants and sellers of all kind were lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them," this is Nehemiah speaking, "why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth, they came no more on the Sabbath." Remember, what was one of the main instructions of Nehemiah? It was, look, we're not going to be doing business on the Sabbath. Okay? We're going to stop working on the Sabbath. That's why God was angry with us at the very beginning. Because we did not give the land the Sabbath rest. And while Nehemiah was gone, guess what? Bring in the merchants, bring in the money, ching ching, let's make profit on the Sabbath. What's the point of resting on the Sabbath? Let's do business, let's make profit. As soon as Nehemiah is gone, they're back there doing it again. He tells the merchants, hey, get out of the city. If I catch you here, lodge here, I'm going to take hold of you. All right? And you can see that the Jews, they're just going back to their old ways. All right, we've had a godly man leading them. They're going back to those old ways. And then it says there in verse number 22, "And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates." So he gets Levites, hey, come and watch the gates. I don't want these merchants coming through. All right? He can't trust the people that had to take care of the gates and the walls. He gets the Levites who are serving, that's meant to be, you know, sanctified for God's business, God's purpose. Hey, you come and watch the gates, right? To sanctify the Sabbath day. Then he says these words, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this also." Look at this. "And spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy." He's expecting, God, surely you're going to judge us again. Right? I mean, we were just in captivity for some 70 years. And now, Lord, it's just surely it's going to happen again. But Lord, can you please remember me? I'm trying to do what is right. And brethren, you know what? You're going to be surrounded by people that are doing things wrong. You know, all our children are homeschooled, I believe, you know. But, you know, if you ever find yourself in some other institution, hey, maybe even if it's after school, you know, even if it's TAFE or university or something like that, you're going to find yourself amongst wicked people. Don't allow yourself to be influenced by those that are wicked, those that are ungodly, those that are rebellious against the Lord. You do what is right, as unpopular as it is. Even in the workplace, it can be that way. So it's so wonderful to be in the house of God. We can be with believers that actually love the Lord. Okay, we're not perfect, but we're here to be united as one body, to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we have the same heart, we have the same salvation, we have the same Christ. Praise God for church. But it's not like that in the real world. You'll be surrounded by people that are rebellious against God. But you need to remember, you do what is right. You do what is right. Okay, and you ask God, God, remember me as I do what is right, even with the influences that are around me that are contrary to doing things contrary to your word. Drop down to verse number 29, same chapter, Nehemiah 13:29. Once again, it says here, the Nehemiah swings it around this way. He goes, remember them, oh my God. Remember them. Remember me. This time he's like, remember them. Who's the them? Because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and all of the Levites. What had happened is that the priests were starting to marry the heathen. Started to marry people that were not, did not believe in the same God. They were defiling the priesthood. So Nehemiah goes, Lord, remember them. Lord, when you pass judgment on them. All right? Not on the rest of us that are trying to do what is right. Because then he says this in verse number 30. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, everyone in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, oh my God, for good. Lord, the others are doing bad. Remember them for their wickedness. Judge them, Lord. But when it comes to me, Lord, look, I've done the best. I've sent the priests, the Levites. Lord, we're trying to do what is right, right? The wood offering, the first fruits, we're trying to get it all organized, Lord. So please remember me, oh my God, for good. So I think these are good prayers. These are good prayers. This is a good phrase to say to the Lord. Lord, I need your attention. I need your focus upon me. Lord, things are going hard. You know, I'm going through difficulties. I can't believe. You know, the people around me have just automatic, I can't believe it, Lord. They've turned against you. They're doing things contrary to you. You know, I've tried to lead my family to love you, to be sacrificial towards you, Lord, but they're just turning against you, Lord. Please, please remember me at least, Lord, as I try to set things in order. I need to remember this as a pastor. You know, what if we have, you know, church members that, you know, leave this body, or they seek the world and, you know, they don't seek the love of God. They don't seek to follow in his ways. I have to say, Lord, can you just remember me? I'm trying to do what is right. Like, please, Lord, in your mercy, you know, as long as I've taught what the Bible teaches, as long as I've instructed God's people to be careful of sin, you know, to put you first in their life, Lord, please remember me, because I'm trying to do what is right. I think we need to pray these things, right? You know, I love these words. I love this phrase. I love how deep it goes. You know, that they're just pouring out their heart to the Lord. It's almost like the feeling is that they're forgotten, but Lord, please bring me back to your remembrance. Keep me at the top of your mind right now, Lord, as I go through this difficulty, this struggle, whatever it is. Please go to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 13. Jeremiah 15, verse 13. Jeremiah was a great preacher, great preacher. The Lord used him for many decades. Among, you know, many kings that passed through the time of Jeremiah's preaching. But even though he was a great preacher, from our perspective, he was a very hated preacher. I mean, if you're going to preach the truth, you're going to be hated by this world. Okay, and Judah was as bad as they were going to get. You know, it was time for Judah to be judged. It was shortly before the Babylonians would come and take him all into captivity. But Jeremiah, this is what happens with Jeremiah here. In Jeremiah 15, verse 13, the Lord is basically, again, many times in the book of Jeremiah you're going to find this. The Lord's just preaching through Jeremiah that the nation will be taken into captivity, that they would lose all things to strangers. Jeremiah 15:13, it says, thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. God's saying, look, you're going to lose it all. Everything within your borders, anything that is valuable, is going to be taken away as spoil. Verse number 14, And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. Of course, the land that they don't know is the land of Babylon. They're going to be taken into captivity with their enemies. Yeah, other nations are going to be taken into captivity as well. The Babylonian Empire was a great empire, took over many countries. Verse number 15. So after Jeremiah's done preaching all of this, you know, preaching the judgment of God, the wrath of God upon his nation, you know, there were people in the time that at this time that thought that Jeremiah was like a pawn of Babylon. Because like Jeremiah just keeps preaching about how Babylon's going to come and destroy us. Right? And they're like, oh man, you're side of the Babylons then, Babylonians then. Right? But look, this preaching, preaching the wrath of God, the judgment of God, weighs so heavily on Jeremiah that he says in verse number 15, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Jeremiah has persecutors, been persecuted for just preaching God's word. You know, even people within his own family are like, Jeremiah, just shut up. Stop preaching. Jeremiah was a hated preacher. He was arrested. He was thrown into the mire, into a water cistern. He was treated so badly. You know, people hated him. And you know what? He knows that what he's preaching, Lord, you just made me preach once again that we're just going to lose all our riches of our land. You just made me preach once again that you are so angry at the Jews. And he says, but Lord, can you just remember me? Because as I preach this, I'm going to get persecuted. Remember me. And I think we need to remember this. If we're going to be a church that's going to just stand for the truth, right? Preach without compromise in season and out season, we need to remember this. Lord, remember this pastor. Remember our church, Lord. Because if we're going to preach truth, we're going to be hated. We need your protection. Jeremiah was protected. If we keep going there, it says in verse number 16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. Lord, you filled me with hatred. Right? As he starts to preach the wrath of God, he starts to say, man, I'm feeling this as well. I can see why God is angry at our nation. But see, listen, he wasn't trying to be a popular preacher. He goes, I'm not going to sit with the mockers. I just rather sit alone. Because you know what? I actually love your words. Like, even though they make me unpopular, even though it gives me persecution, I love your word, Lord. It's Jeremiah's heart. Amazing, isn't it? And you know how it is, brethren. I'm sure you just love God's word. You know, you just know the power, the truth of God's word, but when you share it to people that don't have the same love for it, they hate you for it. They think you're a little weird. You know, they think there's something wrong with you. You know what, Lord, just remember me. You know, keep me at the top of your mind as I love your word, as I stand upon your word. You know, as our pastor preaches your word, Lord, please remember him. Please protect him. You know, eventually the southern kingdom was taken over by the Babylonians. And for a brief period, even Jeremiah was chained up, was arrested. But then the moment they saw him, they let him go. They even gave him money and go, Jeremiah, you do whatever you want. Here's some money from you from the Babylonian Empire, all right? You know, you're definitely God's man. We're just going to let you go and do whatever you want. Jeremiah was blessed. He was protected, okay? Even though the whole nation was taken into captivity, you know what? The Lord did remember Jeremiah. The Lord did remember him. Can you please go to 1 Samuel chapter 1? 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 9. And this one's close to my wife's heart. In fact, it's probably close to the heart of many ladies that have been barren. But it says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 9, the story of Hannah. I recall that Hannah was the wife of a husband that had, well, two wives, all right? The other wife had kids and she was barren. And it says here in 1 Samuel 1, 9, So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So again, Hannah at a very weakened, saddened, heavy state, not being able to have children. And you know, I understand, I've shared with you how my wife was told she'd never be able to have kids. And I saw the sorrow that she went through. You know, and she had these prayers. She saw the story of Hannah, and she basically said the same thing. Lord, remember me. Lord, please give me a man child. You know, please give me children. And of course, the Lord's come through and blessed. Amen. And I've spoken to quite a few ladies over the time that I've been a pastor who have said, look, I'm just struggling to have children. You know, whether they're in our church or out of our church, even like when I've been in the United States and things like that. It's like, you know, I just can't fall pregnant. How did your wife had all these? So look, we had the same issues as you. I mean, there are so many barren women in the Bible. You know what? And just be patient. Just go before the Lord. Just take it to the Lord and leave it in His hands. The moment my wife left it in the hands of the Lord, instead of carrying the burden all the time, she left it in the hands of God. God came through and opened the womb. All right? And you know, she thought of Hannah. And she said, you know, if the Lord can do it for Hannah, He can do it for me. You know, Lord, remember me. And, you know, this is just something for the ladies, especially, you know, if there are ladies listening online that are barren, you know. I know this is something that's going to be on your heart. This is something that God has put within a woman to bring forth children, a great desire. It says there in verse number 12, and it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. This guy's not a good priest, right? I mean, this is just the least of his issues. But anyway, verse number 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaints and grief have I spoken hitherto. And then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Her countenance was no more sad. She left it with the Lord. She said, I've taken it to the Lord. And the priest has said, the Lord has heard this. You know? So she's now she's happy. You know? Great. She's able to rejoice in this. Look at verse number 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. But notice the next words. And the Lord remembered her. Amen. The Lord remembered her. Okay, the Lord came through. She says, Lord, you remember me. Remember your handmaid. Don't forget me. The Lord says, I'll remember you. Next time you're with your husband, you know, the Lord made sure the womb was opened. Verse number 20, and wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. You know, Psalm 113 verse 9 says, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Children are a blessing. Yeah, thank God for your grandchild, brother. Amen. What was the child's name?
Judah.
All right. Judah?
Judah, yeah.
Judah. All right. Praise God. Praise God for Judah. Praise God for children. It's a blessing of the Lord. And ladies, you know, if your heart desires to have children, go to the Lord. Lord, remember me. You know what? The Lord will remember you. He will open your womb, okay? Now, please go to Judges 16. Go to Judges 16, verse 28. Judges 16, it's the last one we got here. Judges 16, verse number 28. Now we go to the story of Samson. All right, Samson. strongest man, one of my favorite Bible characters when I was a child. I used to love it when my mum would read me the books of Samuel, the books of Judges about the story of Samson, you know. I used to love it. Like, that was my favorite bedtime story. Mum, can you tell me about Samson? Now, I think my mum kind of skipped around the passages where he's, you know, chasing the girls. But, you know, when it came to the big stories of the adventure and defeating the armies, my mum would read me those stories. Definitely one of my favorite characters as a child. But Judges 16, verse 28 says, well, before you read it, we know the story, that when he was with Delilah, he gave away the secret of his strength, okay? Then they cut his hair, the Philistines did, they cut his hair, they took him away, they beat him up, they plucked out his eyes, and then they've used him basically as slave labor, okay? So this is the worst state that, you know, you find Samson in. And again, I just want to take the thought there of Samson in such a bad state in his life. And I don't know where you are, you know, where you are in life right now. You know, maybe you feel like I'm just at the worst place I possibly can be in life right now. And this is how Samson felt there in verse number 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. Remember me, I pray thee. And strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Verse number 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which were slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. All right. So actually, Samson finally delivered the Israelites from the Philistines. He finally accomplished the job. But he was at his weakest state. He had made so many mistakes in his life. He just says, Lord, just one more time, can you remember me? And look, this action led to his death. You might say this is suicide, you know, as it were. Him knowing full well that by taking these pillars, it's going to crush him. You know, the building's going to collapse. But not only does it crush him, but it destroys the enemies of the Israelites. More perished by this one event than any other time that Samson had wars against the Philistines. You know, Samson was that judge. Samson did deliver the Israelites from the hands of the Philistines at this point in time. And he simply said, oh Lord, remember me. He's in such a dark place in his life. But the Lord came through, strengthened him. You say it's a sad end to his life. It kind of is. But he did something great for the people of God. You know, Samson's going to be rewarded for this great accomplishment, for being the savior of Israel, as he were, at this point in time. You know, I mean, he realized that this life, again, he had made so many mistakes in life, but he was looking forward to just being able to do one more thing for the Lord. And look, I don't know how much time we've got left on our, you know, that God has for us. I don't know how much. You know, God's not going to ask, can you take down the Philistines? Can you find some physical nation and wipe them out? That's not the kind of battles that we fight in the New Testament. But we are battlers. We are soldiers of the Lord. You know, we are fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places. And, you know, we need to remember that, you know, God wants us to do great things for him, accomplish great things. You know, when we see souls come to Jesus Christ, hey, they are pulled out of that kingdom of darkness. They are pulled out away from the power of Satan. And we've delivered that soul. We've brought them into the kingdom of God. That's how God can use us. God can do some great things through us. Hey, we've got a soul winning event coming up in Melbourne. You know, if you can't be part of it, can you please pray? Can you say, Lord, can you remember us as we go out there in Melbourne? Lord, we're just a few. You know, a few from our New Life, a few from Blessed Hope, a few from Melbourne. Lord, can you get us together? Can you send us out to a place that's going to be receptive? Can you send us out to a place where people are seeking your truth and use us? Remember us, Lord, just one time. At least one time in Melbourne, Lord, till we get back and we can get back to our usual, you know, service in the house of God here at Sunshine Coast. Now, these are things that we need to go to God about. Lord, please remember us, right? We've done it for salvation. We say, Lord, please give me everlasting life. Please remember. We've done that, as it were, right? Well, we can continue praying to the Lord richly, deeply, you know, seeking God's help, saying, God, give me your focus, give me your attention. And of course, God will come through. And as we saw, he answers prayers. God's going to come through and make sure that his children are able to accomplish great things for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just want to thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the story of the thief on the cross. Lord, so many truths can be learned from that story. Lord, that salvation is simply faith on Christ alone. Lord, and that Christ has done all the work necessary for us. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What beautiful words that we can hear from Christ. Say that about us, Lord, the moment that we pass into eternity. Lord, I just thank you for this study that we go through in the Bible, these remember me events, Lord. And Lord, I do pray that you would remember, Lord, just yes, me, but also this whole church, Lord, as we seek to continue to serve you, to love you, to praise you, and to do the works that you've given us to do here, Lord, in the Sunshine Coast, Lord. So please give us the ability, give us the strength, give us your mighty Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can accomplish great things for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brethren, let's turn to hymn number 355. Hymn number 355. 355. 355. And we'll sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 355. What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Friends, this Christ will see.